All right. Praise the Lord.
Go to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. For those of you that may not know, one of the callings of God on our family is orphans, widows, the poor, the local church, and winning souls. Those are the five purposes for which I exist, and my family as well, thank God. I am working hard on getting my wife here, because the thing about it, though, is, you know, once I bring my wife to places, they don't want me anymore. They say, you know, if you're not going to bring her, just don't come. Or, she's enough, we don't need you. Which makes me very happy, actually. She's not a professional preacher, but she is very powerful, and she is a mother of many, 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 many children. Really, I couldn't do this ministry . You know how it is, you know, maybe don't know, but if you do know, it's a glorious thing to have a good wife and a strong wife and a very powerful woman, a great mother, you know, she spends many hours every day for 20-something years on the phone with orphans, ministering to them. I don't believe there's any day that I can recall in 20 years where she has not done that. She's doing it right now. And yeah, so maybe I'll talk about something else. So then, of course, I have my three beautiful daughters, all of which are great ministers and very powerful and work. Craig's wife, Kendra, is a prophet of God, true. And my daughter, Bethany, who's a co-CEO with me and pretty much runs things in many areas and in ways. But I say all those things to encourage you that God's not going to leave your family out. Whatever you're experiencing here and whatever God does with you, He's not planning on leaving your family out. This is a package deal. You get blessed, and the blessing flows down to your family. And so please fully expect God to visit your family and save them all and fill them all with the Holy Spirit. Just fully expect that. Fully expect God to heal everybody, deliver everybody. All the alcoholics in your family, just expect God to just fall and land on them and squash the devil out. Just expect that. All the alcoholism out of your family tree. All the insanity out of your family tree. Praise God. And any other weird and strange thing you may have, out. Hallelujah. So hug someone next to you and say, I'm not going to ask you for any money. I'm not going to ask you to buy me a car. I'm not going to ask you to pay my house off. Just look at that neighbor and say, I just want you to know. Tell them these words. Say, I don't care what your neighbors are saying about you. I like you anyway. Everybody, say it to everybody around. I like you anyway. And as we minister to you tonight, the key, I want to mention to you that we do have these cards for children, And I want to say again that I do not apologize for raising partners and friends to help me and my family rescue orphans and widows. I do not apologize. I do not want to apologize. I do not desire to apologize. And so when I say that you should be helping orphans and widows, I'm not inventing scripture. That's what the Bible actually says that true Christians do. A real Christian has orphans in their life. Real Christians have widows. They have poor people in their lives that they take care of. They take care of their church. They pay for the bills of the buildings and of the church as you do. And may I say that if there was 1,000 of me, I would be clapping for you because of the testimony that I hear from your pastors of how generous you are as a church and as people. You're building a church that is going to be paid off in no time at all. I mean, come on. That glorifies God. That glorifies God. If you will take care of God's house, He will take care of your house. Praise the Lord. A long time ago, the Lord said to me these words. He said, if you'll rescue other people's children, I will rescue yours. And that is the way it has been. Praise God. So, one last time, give your neighbor a big hug and say you just feel a lot thinner than you did this morning when I hugged you then. You seemed a little plumper than you are right now. There's a thinness to you that's happened in the last few hours, and it's glorious to behold. So if you want to help us and partner with us to rescue orphans and widows, to take care of the poor around the world, the ushers have the cards, Africa cards, and also Guatemala cards. Try not to take them home. Tear off the picture, and that you can take home. Fill out the other part and help us do that to whatever degree you may be able to do faithfully on a monthly basis. But let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to talk to you about this, and then we will begin to minister to you tonight. And then again, of course, tomorrow night we have church. And it's all just a glorious week of a lot of amazing things happening. Praise God. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 21 is where we'll be reading. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Hallelujah. Turn to two people and say, woo, Jesus, let's go on to something else. Just so you know that there are people who figure out the faith formulas of the Bible and understand that faith activates miracles. And there are people who will learn these by being in church. They will learn how to prophesy. They will learn how to cast out devils. And they will learn how to do miracles, but they will not know God. They will be workers of iniquity or lawlessness. That doesn't mean you shouldn't prophesy, cast out devils, and do miracles. You should, but you also should know God, not simply learn the behavior of Christians and become an actor, and then live your own separate life of lawless living. But we are mentioning to you the key that unlocks everything, and this is what the key is, and then we're going to explain to you how this works. Because if you can get this key operating in your life, literally your entire world will turn upside down in 24 hours. So look at somebody and say, my life's about to turn around in 24 hours. Promises are going to be fulfilled. Miracles are going to be released. Signs and wonders are going to happen. People are going to get saved. Favor is coming from God. Blessings are falling from heaven. Rain is coming on the dry ground. Rivers and floods and wells and spring are coming my way. Prosperity is breaking all poverty in my life. Blessings are overcoming curses. And the joy of the Lord is on the walls of my house, the ceiling of my house, the floor of my house, the grass in my yard, the cars in my garage, and the children that run around the house are going to get full of the joy of the Lord. This is the house of God where God does miracles. Everybody shout a little bit and say, yes, that's what I'm talking about. So the key, that which you're waiting for, and that which you really need to understand, and here is what it is. You need a Savior, ladies and gentlemen, but you also need a Lord. And the truth is that most Christians have a Savior, but do not have a Lord. Your Savior gets you to heaven, but your Lord gets heaven to you. If you do not have a Lord in your life, you just have a Savior, then all of the things in the Bible that you hear about are not going to happen to you. None of the things that you read in there are actually going to happen to you because you do not have a Lord, you just have an insurance plan. You go to church, you claim Jesus as your Savior. He will get you to heaven. But while you're here on earth, you will live like an empty shell. You will claim everything and experience nothing. You will believe in everything and have nothing. Because it is not just having a Savior, it is also having a Lord. This is a very clear thing in the Bible. Jesus just said it right there in Matthew 7. And if you examine Jesus' life himself and notice some of the things he said about this, this is what he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus talking, not you, Jesus. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. Jesus did it in the garden again when he says these famous words, not my will, but your will be done. You see, it is one thing to hear the words Savior and Lord, and it's one thing to say the words Savior and Lord. They go together, but they're really not together. They are two separate experiences with two separate manifestations. If you do not have a Lord, which I am about to explain what that means, then you can be sure that your Bible Christianity is going to be the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches and what the Bible promises. And ladies and gentlemen, you do not want that to be your experience. You want to have it all because Jesus bought it and paid for it. And it's already yours. You want to be able to experience it in your life and in every area of your life. You don't want any areas of your life where God's hand is not resting on that area. You don't want to look at anything in your life where God's blessing is not resting on top of that. You don't want any area of your life where the devil's fingerprints can be seen. You don't want it in your personality. You don't want it in your emotions. You don't want it in your thinking. You don't want it in your sleeping. You don't want it in your genes. You don't want it in your DNA. You don't want it in your bones, in your eyes, in your ears, in your nose, in your teeth. You don't want it in your heart. You don't want it in your conscience, in your intuition, in your communion, in your prayer life. You don't want it in your marriage. You don't want it in your attitude. You don't want it in your reactions. You don't want it in your actions. You want the devil out of everything. And since the devil is defeated and God is on the throne, that is how it should be. Everybody shout unto God and say, that is how it's going to be. Let's say it together. I've got a Savior. Now I want to have a Lord. You can read in the Bible, all the people in the Bible that experienced true Bible living. True Bible living. Beginning with Noah, who simply for 100 years did what God told him to do and was delivered from the wrath that came upon the world. You can see it again in the life of Enoch, who says he walked with God and he was so close to God that God just took him and said, I want you now. And he just took him. He didn't even die. He just stepped through the veil from one realm to the other by being that close to God. You can see it in the life of Esther when she says, if I perish, I perish. In other words, she said, I'm going to do what you want me to do, even if it kills me. Everybody say that out loud. I'm going to do what you want me to do, even if it kills me. And trust me when I'm saying, for some of you, that's going to be the case. And if not for you, for some of your children. Because there are many more martyrs that are coming, ladies and gentlemen. And you may not believe in that, but I'm telling you right now, it is either revival or war. And whatever it may be, some people are going to heaven that way. Because here's what the Bible says in Revelation 12. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the death. What is a soldier worth that is not willing to die in battle? And that's why all veterans are sacred. And that's why all disabled veterans should be taken care of 100% by the government. Every need should be paid. Every tax should be lifted. All burdens shall be taken. They should have houses. They should have land. They should have a future for their children because they are sacred. And any man and any woman that is willing to get their body blown to pieces for me should have all their needs taken care of till that day they die. And then their wife and their children should be taken care of, because that is how God feels about people that give their lives for Him. We don't need cowards. We don't need a bunch of men who are so afraid to talk to strangers about Jesus that they don't do it. That's cowardly. We don't need that. We don't need women being cowardly. It is one thing to risk your life with a gun. It is another thing to talk to a stranger and have them laugh at you. It's a different kind of bravery. But it's the kind we need for revival to truly come. Now, you are in revival. It's not coming, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, trust my words. You here at Living Stones are in revival. No, it's not coming. You are in revival. There will be more manifestations, but you are in revival now. The key is to have a Lord, not just a Savior. Very powerful people in the Bible were like this. Ruth, who said, no matter what happens, I'm following you. I'm not turning back. to the old ways. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. O king, you can throw us in the fire if you want, but we know our God will deliver us. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, we are not bowing to you. That is the kind of men and women that God is beginning to raise up right now. Revival is coming for those that have a Lord, not for those that limit God to salvation. Hallelujah. Hug two or three people and say, I've never seen that kind of hair. It's really different. Wow. Praise God. It's a different color than I have ever beheld. What is your original color? Do you remember that? Oh, Holy One of Israel. So Daniel said, I'm going to pray. I don't care what you do. Throw me in the lion's den. I'll just get eaten. This is how the world was turned upside down, ladies and gentlemen. The world was not turned upside down by cowards. The world was turned up by men and women who were willing to die for what they believed. And that is what made America free, is men and women that were willing to die. They said, we will run into the battle. We will go at the bullet. Let it kill me. I will do what it takes. And because of that, blood was spilt all over the land. And that's why America became America. And that's why it's called the land of the free and the home of the brave. Because somebody said, I'm willing to pay the price for whatever it takes to have freedom in my country and not be ruled by tyrants and not be ruled by Nazis and tyrants. And they're all over America. So the question tonight, is Jesus just your Savior, or is he also your Lord? I am about to answer that question for you. Turn to somebody and say, "Whew, Jesus, I hope I come out of this all right." No, that's not what you want to say. What you want to say is if I'm not okay, God, please fix me tonight. I want to come out of this with the Lord, not just the Savior. Oh, everybody, thank God for a Savior. Can you thank him for saving you? Come on. Can you thank God that he went to wherever you were at, whatever dungeon, whatever place of darkness you were at, and he reached down his hand and he drew you out of many waters and he set your feet upon a rock and gave you a new name and a new calling and a new chance, and a new life. Here we go now with what it means to have a Savior and a Lord. These are the signs that I have discovered in my life over the last 52 years of being in ministry. Are you ready? Number one, the number one sign that you have a Lord in your life is you no longer have a free will. You see, we are so proud of being free-willed people. But in Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, you actually don't get a free will. If you want a Lord, you have to give that free will away because God will never take it. But unless you have unless you've given away your free will, you don't have a Lord. Because you see, that's the kind of churches there are. There are churches that have a Savior with free will. But the Bible doesn't teach free will when you have a Lord. Because a Lord is a God. He is a master. He actually tells you what to feel and think. And if this is not the kind of Christianity you want, then be an atheist. Be an agnostic. But if you are going to have the blessings the Bible promises, those promises are for people who have given their free will to God. In other words, you don't just hit somebody in the mouth anymore. You ask God for permission. Yes. Yes, that's how it works. You ask God for permission. I've done it many times. You ask God for permission. You say, "Dear Lord, here is a moron, and this moron needs a shot in the mouth. I can tell you, my father, that through years of experience, when you knock a man out, it changes his perspective. They become kind and sweet and understanding and extremely loyal." So I ask God, may I knock him out? There is a spiritual purpose in this, oh Father. God doesn't mind you telling him your, you know, stuff. This would help. Oh, are we okay with that? No. No, we're not okay. Okay. I kind of knew you would say that, but, you know, I was trying to negotiate a settlement. What do you want me to do? You're my Lord. What do you want me to do? You want me to give him an offering? That's what you want me to do? You want me to give him an offering. You want me to send him $500 as an offering? Okay, you're my Lord. I do what you tell me. Boom, 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 bam. Oh, now you want me to have a good attitude about it. Whoo, that is going to take me a little while of praying, my Father, but I'm going to get on it right now. I'm going to bend my knees and I won't get up till I got a good attitude. And that's going to might be a few hours, but we will not get up until we have a good attitude, because you are my Lord, not just my Savior. You may want to divorce your husband, and he's a saved man, but he's a bum. He won't change his underwear. He won't stop scratching himself in public. He won't stop having gas in your presence. He doesn't even bother to hide it anymore. He just has it all over the house. He won't change the toilet paper and put a new roll on there. He won't flush the toilet. He just leaves it all there. He lifts the lid up in the middle of the night, where you have almost drowned on several occasions, and have told him, if you do that again, it's gotten so bad now for you as a woman that you're actually praying that God would just kill him in his sleep. Oh, Father, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. And he just won't do it. He just won't murder people for you. You're just going to have to get over it. That you married a gas machine. Maybe you should soak the beans overnight instead of just buying them and cooking them. Soak them 48 hours and that'll take out the gas. No, you ask God, may I kill this man? Would you kill this man? May I hire an assassin? These are true things. And please remember that religion chokes on freedom. Religious people can't laugh at life. They're as sour milk on its worst day. give somebody a hug and say, I am so sweet. Would you husbands look at your wives and let's sing them our song? Come on, look at them. Don't look at me. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Come on, you'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Move in, my brothers. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Move in. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Move in. Move in. Please don't take my sun. You ought to be real close right now. Sunshine away. Give her a big kiss right on that face and say, I love you. Ladies, put your hands on your husband's chest. Look at them in their eye and say, what I am about to say, I truly mean. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Clap your hands. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. Whoa, 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 whoa. Give me some money, honey, honey. Give me some dough. The last verse. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Look at him. You don't have to go. Whoa, whoa. Send me to Hawaii, honey. Hallelujah. Come on, ladies, hold it out. Hallelujah. Keep your hand on their chest. Hallelujah. Say these words with me right now. I know where you hide the money. I saw you put it in your boot over in the garage. I found $8,738. I have already spent it. Oh, hallelujah. The second way you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life, go ahead and tell somebody, we're about to find out the second way, is you are no longer entitled to have an opinion. You don't get to find fault with the church. You don't get to find fault with anything. You don't get to have your own independent opinions. If you want a Lord, you ask God what his opinion is. Say, what is your opinion about this? Because that's what I'm going to adopt. You're my Lord and my master. You see, what we have is a bunch of masterless, lordless Christians running around doing whatever the holla holla they want. And because of that independent spirit that they think applies to Christianity, which only applies to the world, it does not apply to God. To the world, you're independent and you don't do what it tells you. You don't serve it. You don't bow to it. You don't do anything. But to God, you have to ask God what your opinion is, what his opinion is, so you can have one of your own. And that opinion will be his opinion. You may not like this as an American, but this is the Bible. And if you're going to get its blessings, then you need to let go of your independent opinions. There are enough Christians in America to completely end abortion everywhere if they just read the Bible and adopted what it said. But because we have people who do not have a Lord, who call themselves Christians, we have chaos all over the land. Number three, The way you know that you have a Lord in your life is that your number one desire is to please God. That's how you know, sitting out there, that you have a Lord, because you are constantly asking the question, does this please you, Lord? Is this pleasing to you? When you're driving down the highway and somebody almost kills you and you're about to cuss them out and throw the finger, you say, Lord, I'm about to cuss them out and throw the finger. Does this please you? This is why so many Christians are failures in their walk with God. Is their number one desire is not to please God. Their number one desire is to please themselves. You want to lose all the blessings in manifestation form? Be selfish. You want all the blessings to come knocking on your door? Be selfless. Can somebody praise him and say hallelujah? Look at somebody and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. A word in faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. A word in faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. Come on, people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. A word in faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. Very important. Praise the Lord. Number four. The way you know you have a Lord, and not just a Savior, is that you have this overwhelming desire to know God's word and walk in God's will. You see, a person that has a Lord doesn't read the Bible when they want to. They read the Bible every day. They study the Bible every day. They apply the Bible to all aspects of their life, their business, their marriage, their personal life. This is because you have a Lord, not just a Savior. Turn to somebody and say, that's what I want. Ask yourself how much time you spend inside of God's Word. Ask yourself how much of God's Word you have memorized. If I made you stand up or asked you to stand up, how many of you could quote 100 Bible verses, 50 Bible verses, 25 Bible verses, 10 Bible verses, 5 Bible verses? Do you see what I'm saying? You're in starvation mode in your life because you don't have any healing medicine in your life. You see, the Bible is medicine. When you put the Bible inside you, you activate healing in all the crazy places of your life. You memorize it, you meditate on it, and you speak it, and it sets captives free. The Word of God is the mind of God, and every thought God has is a medicine that heals something sick within you. When God wants to bless you, He looks for something in you that He can partner with. Since He cannot partner with you because you're unstable and unreliable, He looks for Himself inside you, and He says, there I am, Isaiah 54:17, so now I will partner with myself and make sure that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And if you don't have the Word of God in that way of area of your life, you will find that Christianity simply will not work for you. This is not, God is not Santa Claus, and He's not a cafeteria. And He's not a computer that you punch in and out. He is a person. Hallelujah. The way that you know that you have a Lord in your life is because you are actively loving people that don't like you. Turn to seven people and say, that's it. Point to them and say, that's it. Go ahead, point at people. That's it. Some of you can't do it. That's it. Because the test of your Christianity is always miserable people. This is how you know you have a Lord. Is you say, wow, I really dislike that person. I need to go and love them. I need to help them with something. I need to go embrace them. I need to go talk to them. I need to get over this personality conflict that I'm having with so-and-so. Because you have a Lord, you make sure that all your relationships are the way God wants them. You don't leave a relationship unrepaired if it is in your power to do so. You don't just not forgive. When you have a Lord, you don't just, I'm not going to forgive. I'm never talking to you again. Get out of my life. I'm never going to see you again. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people that God will give you divine disconnections from because they are toxic and they are dangerous. But that doesn't mean God won't make you love them long distance. It's what's in your heart that God's looking at. Hallelujah. Everybody raise your hands and say, that's more than I can handle on a Sunday night. I wish you had skipped that point altogether. I was doing pretty good until you mentioned those people and having to forgive. I don't want to forgive, I want to kill. How do you know that you have a Lord and not a Savior? Because you ask God hard questions and you apply the hard answers. You don't ask yourself, are you a good husband? That's stupid. Are you a good husband? Yeah, I am. I think I'm a great husband. Praise the Lord. Well, what does your wife say? Let's not talk about that. Yeah, because we're going to give ourselves every break possible since childhood. But your wife will tell you if you're a good husband. Your husband will tell you if you're a good wife, if they're good people. If they're crazy, that's different. This is important to know. Forgiveness is not optional to a man or woman who has a master. We forgive everybody, whether they deserve it or not. Because we become the slaves of the people we refuse to forgive. And I'm not going to become any man or woman slave on this earth. I am not going to let any imperfection in another human being separate me from God. So yes, I will forgive those that almost kill me, steal, and anything else that may happen. I'm going to forgive them. Does that mean that I am not going to shoot them if they break in my house? Oh yes, I will shoot them. And while they're dying, I will lead them to Jesus and say, get born again, get saved, because you're about to die. But don't you think that I'm going to let somebody break into my house and attack my wife and my children and my grandchildren. I will shoot you dead. And you may not like that. Oh, God. Well, I have my convictions, and you should have yours. Because if you let people just steal everything, that's not what God wants. Turn to two people and say, man, he's talking straight to you. I can feel. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just a minute, I'm going to minister to you. And God is going to do wonderful things. Look at six people around you and say, I don't know if I can take any more. How do you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Here is another very important point. You don't own anything. That's how you know you have a Lord. Because on the moment he tells you, give that truck away, you just paid off. Give it to that family with all those kids and they got that rotten car. Give them your brand new truck. Some of you aren't looking very happy right now. You are thinking in your brain, I hope he really is deceived and I hope the devil is talking to him right now. You don't own your truck. You don't own your house. All of those can be, at any moment, God, your master, God, your Lord, can at any moment tell you, give away every bit of furniture in your family to that new family over there that has no furniture in their house. They are sleeping on the floor. Give them your beds. Give them your couches. Give them your TV. Give them everything. Because we're not talking about selfish Christianity. We're talking about biblical Christianity. What did Pastor say? Consider sitting over there and letting the visitors sit on in here during whatever you were talking about. It was good. I got the general point. No, you don't own those things. You may say, oh, I've got this classic car. I built it myself with my own hands. And God may tell you one day, I want you to sell the car and give the money to this, this, and this. And if you have a master, you will do it. If you don't have a master, you won't do it. You won't even ask the question, and you won't even listen to any of the answers. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you the unadulterated truth. Christianity does not work for people without a Lord. You don't get to have Jesus as your Lord in one area and not in another area. You can't just say, I smoke reefers, but I win souls. I want you to know that I cast devils out of people and get people healed on the street, but I do get periodically drunk. No, if you're going to have a Lord, he's got to be the Lord of your mouth. He's got to be the Lord of your thoughts. He's got to be the Lord of your desires and your secret motives. Otherwise, this is not Christianity. Don't be deceived. You're not practicing it. And the reason that things are not going the way they should is you're doing your own thing. And sooner or later, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, doing our own thing has to stop. How many of you have ever fasted with joy? Impossible. No, 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 no. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only two ways to know that you're truly fasting. One is you're miserable. And two, you lose weight. If you're on a fast and gain weight, it doesn't matter what you call the fast. It is not a fast. You cannot just say, I'm on the Daniel fast, and then have a giant baked potato because that's a vegetable. You can't have a big bowl of beans and corn chips because corn is a vegetable.
You can't have a 6,000 calorie smoothie with every kind of fruit in there, 50 ounces with every kind of, with avocados in there. And say, I'm on the Daniel fast, and I'm doing great. I feel wonderful. My feet haven't touched the ground all week. No, when you're fasting, you're very unhappy because you are forcing your body to pray. And you've got sugar withdrawals, which is going to give you headaches. It'll give you back pain, knee pain, and ear pain, and eye pain. Then you have caffeine withdrawals, which will basically blow your brains right out of your head. So you're not going to be able to fast. You're going to have to drink coffee on your fast, and now you're on a coffee fast. But at least you'll be miserable and lose weight. Serving Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, you may not have heard this, but it's very painful. Serving Jesus is not all happiness. Inconvenience is the number one word for a person who has a master and a Lord. Because God will constantly tell you to do things you don't want to do for people you don't want to do it for. He'll say, wash their feet. I don't want to. We're going to have this conversation. No, we're not going to have this conversation. I'll do it. You want all the blessings of the Bible? Can you say amen? You want everything to flow the way God wants it to flow? Then you need to have a Lord. The final thing I'm going to tell you, and this is very important, look at someone next to you and say, this is very important. When you have a Lord, you don't get to complain. I hear a sound from heaven. It sounds like revival. I hear the people getting delivered from complaining. I see a lot of people that are saying, oh no, I don't think I can get delivered from that because I really enjoy that a lot. It's the only way that I can get people in the house to do what I want. I've got to complain early in the morning and late at night. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all complain about something. Now, you may wonder why I act this way. Because this is what a person without religion looks like. Our job, ladies and gentlemen, is not to try to get you to like us, but to get you to have an encounter with God. If you want Christianity to work, you must choose a master. You may never feel loved in your marriage. That's a reality for some people. But you can love that person unconditionally, whether they love you back or not. And may I say that I know of no cases where someone loves someone unconditionally and did not result in the salvation of that other person's life. To love someone unconditionally is the most powerful tool and weapon of salvation on planet Earth. Very few people can resist unconditional, unbiased love. It is too good to resist. It is like cocaine for you drug addicts. And it heals you when you're done. You have no withdrawals. and you cannot live without it. Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to love you unconditionally. Come on, spread it around. Tell everybody, I'm going to love you unconditionally. You don't even have to love me back. Come on, say, you don't even have to love me back. Because you'll never get the love you want as long as you want it. Once you stop wanting it, it seems to come flooding from everywhere. Once Jesus is enough, now you know you have a Lord. Everybody say it out loud. Once Jesus is enough, I know I have a Lord. You don't have to be unhappy. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be bound and enslaved. You don't have to be confused. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be sick. And you don't have to fail. You just need a Lord and a Master. Your Savior will get you into heaven. Your Lord will get heaven into you. Let's all say it together. Your Savior will get you into heaven. Your Lord will get heaven into you.